Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we finish our study of Philippians chapter 4 verses 5 through 7 titled The Peace of God. This is part 2 of 2.
And it's, so instead of having the power of God's Word, they have to turn to many, many other things. But if you are under the influence of God's Word and His Holy Spirit, then in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and you say amen at the end of that prayer, and then you let God do it. Let God work. And I'll just use as an example, I mean, we were in a theater, and you know, we couldn't find any place to meet as a fellowship. And I said, well, when the Lord wants us to meet somewhere else, He'll open our eyes and show us. It wasn't too long after that, I was driving down 161, there's a big old sign. I wasn't even praying for a sign. And there's a sign. And so we make the phone call and the phone number on the sign, and they say, oh, come on in. So we met down there at the fellowship hall for however long, many years. And we just like, yeah, it's just, Lord, I'm getting old. This is putting everything up and tearing everything down, I'm getting old. But I'll do it as long as you want me to. So we kept doing it, but we kept praying, show us a place, show us a place. And all of a sudden, we were to the point of giving up. We had moved out to West Jeff, and we were thinking about where to build or something. You know, and all of a sudden, ta-da! And so we're here. Now, God may have something in store, and things change in the next year or two. If He tarries, 10, 20 years from now, we could be right here. We don't know. What do? We pray about it with thanksgiving for what we've got, and we say amen. And then we go on. And that's going to happen with you. We've got some young people looking for houses. We got young people thinking about careers. We got all these things. What do? You do what you're supposed to do. You pray with thanksgiving for all that He's blessed you with, knowing that He's going to direct you in His time, and you say amen. No pills needed. Don't have to go out buying booze. Don't turn inward and panic. Turn Godward and pray. That's it. Acts 20:21, you come to God, repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the beginning of an entire lifetime of repenting toward God, turning toward God. Your whole life. It's rare to find a believer overcome with the cares of this world when they live by the Word of God and prayer. I've rarely had a Christian come to me and, oh, I'm just at my wit's end. And then when I talk to them, find out that they're in the Word the way they ought to be. They pray the way they ought to. They're out serving the Lord and not allowing these things to neutralize them. I can't really tell you more than one or two cases. And so the question is, what about then? Well, you know, maybe they weren't being honest with me about the way they're living with the Lord, their relationship with the Lord. Or maybe God's just doing something and they need to be patient and stop fretting over it. But that's the truth. I love this. I don't even know where it came from. It says, we often treat Jesus the way Saul treated David. We want Him to slay giants and sing evil spirits away, but we don't want Him to be king. Yeah. We want Jesus when we want Jesus. That means we don't want Jesus all the time, just when we need Him. Get out the lamp. Poof, out comes the genie. That's how we want Jesus. Yeah, we want Jesus like a phone app. You know, we want to be able to pull out the phone and open the app. We don't want Him actually ruling our lives. We don't want Him in everything, just when we want Him. Right? Read verse 7 with me. Philippians 4. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, what people want to do is take this verse totally out of context, turn it into a bumper sticker or t-shirt or whatever, and that's my life verse. That's my life verse right there. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's it. No, it doesn't work like that. It's a precious promise, but peace is conditional. It's not just a like a Bible pill where you can get, oh, that's my favorite verse. Oh, everything's good now. Like a Bible pill. That's not how it works. Peace requires, first and foremost, repentance of sins. And that goes against the fundamentalist fake gospel out there being preached today. The 1, 2, 3, repeat after me. You want to bring them in by the boatload so you don't confront them with their sin. And what you're doing is condemning them to hell. Christ died for our sins. And if you want to have peace with God, you repent of your sins. Go Old Testament on you just for a second, but this has been a standard with God from the very beginning. There is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked.
Amen.
If you will not repent of your sins, you're wicked. You come to Jesus and say, dear Jesus, save me. Thank you. Or you can say, I admit I'm a sinner. Well, you big boy, you what a big fella. He's going to admit he's a sinner. Can you this here, quote the Bible and tell me where God says, admit you're a sinner. Ain't in there. Should you admit you're a sinner? Well, you have to do that in order to repent. That what God calls you to do is repent. And today's fake fundamentalists want to run around telling everybody, admit you're a sinner, and they don't even mention repentance. Why? Because their numbers would shrink. Their boasting would be a little less impressive. They wouldn't have as many numbers to boast about. And they filled our pews with unrepentant sodomites, unrepentant adulterers, unrepentant liars, unrepentant thieves. And that's why the churches are dead. The very gospel that they preach is a dead gospel without repentance. What do you expect? What result do you expect from that? It's like we've talked about Brother O's having to go in chemo. Let's just give him Hershey's Kisses instead. What's going to happen to him? Bad. And that's what's going on out there. We don't want to run him off by saying you have to have your chemo. That's how the gospel is being preached. We don't want to offend people and run them off by confronting them with their sin. So let's give them Hershey Kisses. And brag about how many people come to get their kisses. Reality check. The world and worldly professing Christians want peace with God without a change of heart. That's what the world and worldly professing Christians want. And the result is the world in the churches. And the churches that look like the world. That's what's happening. And that's just the big picture. It's what will happen in you, personally, if you have that approach. This is Acts 17:30. For all you theologians out there, this is in this dispensation. This is in the church age, if you want to call it that. The dispensation of the gospel of grace. Now, there are some radicals. You people wonder out there. They'll say, how do people get to be so hyper-dispensational where they claim that it's not even our dispensation until you get to the very end of the book of Acts? They only do that because they don't want to accept things like that. They're motivated by being wicked. But most dispensationalists will put us in our dispensation by Acts 15. The mid-Acts position. Yeah. Now, I believe we're in the dispensation of the gospel of grace from Pentecost on. And there's a transition that takes place from that point to the end. But it's all part of this dispensation. But even if you jump up to Acts 15 or wherever your position is, this is Acts 17. And it says, and the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. And you big, brave fundamentalists out there who cowardly will not preach repentance.
Right.
Bunch of cowards.
Amen.
That's a lot of them, that's what it is, just cowards. And then I got to throw this in there. You think about peace and the big rally we saw yesterday. World peace. That was mentioned over and over. World peace. One of the most ridiculous spectacles is when Christians join hands with the unsaved for the cause of world peace.
Amen.
There will be no peace until the second coming of Christ and the
Amen.
Prince of Peace.
Amen.
And I've even seen Christians blaspheme in these joint meetings for peace and sing the stupid song by John Lennon, Imagine. Stupid, blasphemous, trash song
Amen.
By John Lennon. It's a disgusting song.
Amen.
And these Christians hold hands with others. Imagine there's no heaven. What? You're a Christian. Why would you want to imagine that?
Amen.
I want to imagine heaven.
Amen.
That's what I'll imagine. Well, tell me to imagine no heaven. No hell below us. Well, at least they got the location right. A lot of people don't know that. Proverbs 11:21. Though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished, but the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. The sons of God. The promise of world peace is just an empty lie. The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:3, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. A couple of you women here have given birth. During labor, did you try to get up and run?
Amen.
The look on their face says it all. You don't run. That's what it's saying. That's what's going to happen. That's what it's going to be like whenever judgment comes.
Amen.
The Antichrist will destroy the world while promising them peace. Have you ever thought about that? Daniel 8:25, we studied a few weeks ago. And through his policy also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart. There's all that self-esteem, self-love crap.
Amen.
And by peace. Think about that. And by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes. But he shall be broken without hand.
Amen.
Antichrist is going to stand up against Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is going to smash him.
Amen.
And then you're going to have peace. Oh boy, it gets me excited. I just want to see Jesus just show off. I just can't wait for that day when he just wipes them all out. Just kills them all. With the word of his mouth, bam!
Amen.
And then he's on his throne. What a day that will be. There is no real lasting peace unless you're saved.
Amen.
You can forget about it. Those pills are going to wear off. The booze will wear off. Your positive thinking is a load of bull. You're not going to have any real lasting peace until you're saved. It's called the gospel of peace in the Bible. And when we offer the gospel to the lost, we are offering the only way for them to have peace with God. You love that unsaved coworker, family member, neighbor, whoever it is. You want them to have some peace? Give them the gospel. That's the only way they'll ever have it. Romans 10:15 says, and how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things.
Amen.
Jenny, every once in a while she'll come in and say, look at those beautiful feet.
Right.
And she ain't talking about what they look like physically. It's kind of encouragement preachers want. And the ladies, you can be gospel preachers too, and you men can tell your women they got beautiful feet. Doesn't that sound romantic, Olivia? But the most beautiful feet are the ones that preach the gospel. Amen. Once you place your faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ, you have peace positionally with God. Just a few more minutes. Hang with me and understand this. Positionally, underlined for a reason. The moment you're saved, you have peace with God. Legally, positionally. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's speaking legally, that's speaking positionally, where you stand with God as far as your eternal soul is concerned. You have peace. But you can experience the loss of that peace on a practical, daily level when you live outside of His will and in opposition to His Word. You say, well, I've been saved and I don't have that peace. Well, that's your fault. I can say it without even knowing what's going on in your life. If you are saved and you really are saved and you don't have any peace, it's your fault. Amen. Look over 1 Peter 3. Getting ready to close it up. I want to go to 1 Peter 3. I just love this, the way he puts it. First Peter 3, verse 10 is where we'll start. I love how he says this. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. Don't you like that? And I just love that. You can love life as a Christian. You ought to love life and see good days. But don't expect it when you won't do what God's asked you to do. Don't expect it when you just totally reject biblical counsel. It just ain't going to happen. Read verse 12 with me. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. That includes Christians. Do evil, and on a practical daily level, God is going to remove His hand and you're going to pay for your choices, your actions, your words. But if you will live for the Lord, the eyes of the Lord are upon you. Look, it says, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. That's you if you're saved. Now, is that good? Does that make you feel good? Because if you're not living for the Lord, you're like, oh man, I forgot about that. Ooh, I'm in trouble. He saw what I did last night. Yeah. That's why a lot of people don't go to church. You got friends and family who give you all kinds of stupid excuses why they don't go to church. They don't go to church, or if they do, they don't go to a real church because they don't want to hear this. They don't want to be confronted. Amen, amen. Amen. One more, just a couple pages over, 2 Peter 3. I always wait till Stephen closes his Bible before I tell you to turn to the next one. 2 Peter 3, beginning verse 9. Of course, we've heard this first one, at least the first half of it, a lot. Verse 9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to what?
Amen.
Amen. You wonder why the rapture is being delayed? God's got His eyes on some people.
Amen.
That's all it is. He's got His eyes on. I'm a firm believer there's just going to be that last person saved and we're going up.
Amen.
Until then, God's being long-suffering. Now read verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Now that's talking about the end of the tribulation period there, Revelation 19. Now verse 11 he says, Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. This world is not worth it, folks. Amen. This world is going to dissolve. What manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? And what's your motivation? Read verse 12 with me. Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. As we look forward to the rapture, we look forward to the judgment seat of Christ, we look forward to the marriage supper, and we look forward to returning on white horses with Jesus as He comes to earth and kills the Antichrist and the wicked and establishes a kingdom for 1,000 years in which you and I rule and reign with Him. That ought to be enough. That ought to be enough. And you go to these other churches and you see the lukewarm, you know, all that. And you wonder why? Because you don't hear that kind of preaching. This week we're going to start a series on family. And after 8 weeks we're going to start a series on how to handle your money. And then after that we're going to start a series on how to get along with people. And then after that 8-week series, we're going to start a series on... And it's all these series after series of behavior cult is what they're turning churches into. Yeah. And in the meanwhile, they don't preach and teach the Bible. Their people are dumb as rocks. You try to talk to them about the Bible, you can't even carry on a conversation with them. They have no motivation to do anything other than think of themselves. Yeah. Well, you've just placated that from the way you teach.
Yeah.
Turn the church into romper room. But listen, you can't lose salvation. You can lose that peace. You can't lose salvation. But you can lose your peace.
Yeah.
There's no reason for any Christian, any born-again, blood-bought Christian on your way to heaven to not have peace. There's no reason for it. As our musicians come forward, and we're going to turn to number 517... Just want to ask a couple questions as they come. Are you saved and at peace with God positionally? That's where you have to start. Don't go trying to make your life better. I like what old preachers used to say about Christians who get involved in all this social justice stuff. Trying to make the world a better place to go to hell in. But if you're just trying self-improvement, you're just trying to make a better self to go to hell in, unless you get saved and positionally, legally, are at peace with God. Second question, are you living according to His Word and looking for Jesus appearing as a Christian? You've got peace with God legally. Now what about daily? Are you looking for Jesus? Listen, can everybody look at me for a second? I really am not up here just to blow hot air at you. I want you to wake up tomorrow morning and the morning after that and the morning after that, and I want you to ask yourself, am I saved? You should ask that right now. And then ask yourself, am I going to live today with the knowledge Jesus could come back at any moment? Are you going to ask yourself that in the morning? Because that's what you should ask yourself every day.
Amen.
What the old radio Bible class, M.R. DeHaan, he used to say, perhaps today, you start every day.
Amen.
So you walk in there and look in the mirror and say, perhaps today.
Amen.
Got him right on, the right direction.
Amen.
I try to be in the habit of sipping that first cup of coffee. Thinking, Jesus. I suddenly go from looking like this to... I may not even have to worry about it tomorrow. Yeah. Let me tell you, there's days where I don't do that. And they're my bad days. Those are my bad days. And the days I wake up and I think about Him returning today. You say, some of you may even say, well, you preached with a little oomph this morning, preacher. Well, for one thing, I'm breathing. Number two, though, today was one of those days. Where I'm just thinking, we may not even have church today, Charlie. Charlie trying to get there. Oh, we're going to be late. We're going to be late. Don't worry about it, Charlie. You're never going to be late for church again. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Let's sing number 517. Can't stand, sing with us. Truth that we learned this morning.
Amen.
We love the truth. Those of us who have been in that book day after day, we love the truth you continue to teach us and show us. We love the truth you want to teach us tomorrow and the day after and the day after, unless or until the rapture. And Lord, may everyone walk out of here with a new attitude, if they don't already have it, of waking up every day, living it like it might be our last before we're raptured out of here. In Jesus' name.
For solid King James Bible preaching and teaching, along with the encouragement of the Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, tune in to our internet radio station available every day, 24 hours a day, at bbfohioradio.com. Join listeners from over 150 nations, all 50 U.S. states, and other U.S. territories who are tuning in and receiving free Bible teaching at bbfohioradio.com.